many, many years ago, I wrote a letter. Now, this was before computers, you know, before you could just sort of type stuff in and print it out. It was before you sent texts, before you could message anybody. And I got to tell you, sometimes we have to wait before we hit send, amen. You know? But I typed this letter out, probably on a Selectric typewriter. Praise the Lord for Selectric typewriters. And it was addressed to Reverend Elder Troy Perry. I was concerned. I was worried. And so this fairly long letter was all about that concern and worry. I was young. And I used this particular scripture passage as an illustration of my worry. I remember in that letter saying things like, I'm afraid that we in MCC have allowed thieves and bandits to come in. I'm worried that we're theologically all over the place. And we need to get this right. You know, we need to know who's in and who's out. I wrote this letter. Praise the Lord. He never responded. Which was probably a good thing that he never did. Fast forward, years later. You know, sometimes when the Reverend Elder Dr. Nancy Wilson asked you to lunch, you had to worry. What'd she want? She invited me to lunch and she said, I have an idea and I'd like to create a commission on the statement of faith. I would like you to chair it. And I went, oh. And I went back in my mind to that letter that I had written so long ago. And I thought to myself, boy, I'm in a different place now than I was then. And so when this wonderful team of people got together to create the new MCC Statement of Faith, it was, when we finished, it was open. Very open. So open that some people probably wonder why it's so open. But I think it's open for a reason. Because we for too long have been told we can't get in to some sheepfold of some sort, somewhere. Amen?
Amen.
We've been told we don't belong for one reason or another in one sheepfold or another. You know, most of the time we're told we don't belong because of our sexual orientation. Sometimes it's because of our gender identity, which will drive people nuts, you know, as people try to figure that out. Sometimes it's the color of our skin. Sometimes it's some other thing, who knows what, you know. One of the things that I love about MCC is we have open doors. We say, y'all come. And so when we say, y'all come, normally y'all do. And I think that's a good thing. When this particular scripture was reading, we need to remember the context of the Gospel of John. It was written sort of toward the end of the first century. Jesus had been dead for a long time, resurrected for a long time too. But there was a fairly large gap between those days and the days that the Gospel of John was put together. The Church of Jesus Christ was still a rather small group. It wasn't too mighty. It wasn't too powerful. And there was a great bit of persecution, both from Romans and Greeks and Jews, from other religions. They saw this group of followers of Jesus as a threat. And they didn't understand a lot. Now, the other thing that was going on is there were lots of theologies in this early group. In fact, most of the statements of faith that we have in the church come because there have been disagreements about theology. And so councils were called together and creeds were written in order to make it clear who was in and who was out based on what you believed about Jesus or about the church or about God. And so the creeds that we, most of us, grew up with, Nicene Creed, et cetera, were all a result of controversies in the church. So this business about gates and sheepfolds and shepherds was relevant really all through Christian history and is relevant even today. In the United States, I think we have kind of a privileged place as the church, or at least we think we do. There are some people who think that the church is being persecuted. I take issue with that myself. Although there's now been an executive order that says I can say whatever the hell I want from the pulpit. But I will spare you. One person has written about where we are today versus what John was writing about then. This comes from Jeffrey Gallagher. He says, "So tear down the sheepfold, remove the gate, do away with the gatekeeper, allow the sheep to roam freely in the world, and let God be the good shepherd, roaming with all the sheep, chasing after them with goodness and mercy flowing everywhere. Or at least show a gate that doesn't close anymore." See, I think that's part of what MCC can be about. That we have a sheepfold, if you will, a congregation, if you will, of people come from all sorts of theological backgrounds. If I began to ask, there'd be hands popping up all over the place from this theological background or that theological background, from this part of the country, that part of the country, from some other part of the world. You know, it's kind of the way it is. But Jesus, toward the end of this passage, talking about sheep and shepherds and gates and gatekeepers and all that other kind of stuff, said, "I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly." So what are the signs of abundant life? There are at least two. He'd come up with three if we gave him a chance, but there's at least two. And we find them in this passage. In one place in the passage, it talks about how the sheep know the shepherd's voice, and they will follow the shepherd's voice. See, it used to be that at night when all of the sheep came in from all over the place, various shepherds would mix their flocks together. But the various sheep also knew the voice of their particular shepherd. Each sheep was known. Back then, they didn't raise sheep to really kill them for food. They raised them for the wool that they created. So sheep would be with the same shepherd for many years, creating wool, being shorn, creating more wool. The shepherds would get to know the sheep, and the sheep would know their shepherd's voice. See, it's about the relationship. It's about the relationship that we have with God. It's the relationship that we have with Jesus. We are known through and through, as we just sang, right? God says, "You're beautiful." I was hearkening back to, it wasn't Barbara that first said that, by the way, to me. I grew up sort of as a strange child. You know, when you're taller than everybody else and can outrun every boy, it's not necessarily an easy life. And I didn't think too highly of myself and really didn't think I was too pretty. I wasn't pretty as the other girls, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, all that kind of stuff. One day I was, after class, I was in a math thing with Mrs. Reichel back then. You know, we didn't use Ms. much. Ms. Reichel looked over at me as I was writing on the board, trying to figure out a particular math question. Just out of the blue, Mrs. Reichel said, "You have the most beautiful eyelashes." I really wasn't quite sure what to make of it at the moment. But you know, I went home and looked in the mirror. I went, "You know, they're not bad." I was the first person out of my family to ever say something nice about me. But I came to know through time that God knew I was beautiful all along.
Yes, ma'am.
It didn't matter what anybody else thought, what everybody else said. I was beautiful, created just the way God wanted me to be. And everybody else could get over it.
Come on. Yes, ma'am.
No?
Yes, ma'am.
I was going to run faster. Jump taller, jump higher. I was going to do all those things that people said you shouldn't do. And I kind of lived my life like that, my poor dad. No. You know, I'd change direction from this time to that every now and then, and he'd have to go, "Oh dear." We're known. God knows us through and through, and that's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to be known. As the shepherd knew the sheep, God knows us through and through and says, "I love you. I love you. I love you." Not every church will tell you that. Amen?
Amen.
But we'll tell it to you. You're loved. Someone wrote 7 cardinal rules for life. Make peace with your past so it won't disturb your present. Let me say that again. Make peace with your past so that it won't disturb your present. What other people think of you is none of your business. They're going to think whatever they want. Praise the Lord. Let them go right on thinking. Time heals almost everything. Give it time. No one is in charge of your happiness except you. You know, don't think that your partner's in charge of your happiness. Hi, Robert. You are in charge of your own happiness. Don't compare your life to others. And don't judge them. You have no idea what their journey is all about. We still have a little piece of paper up on the pulpit that was given out a year or so ago by Lauren Bennett that says, "Be kind. Be kind. Because you never know. You never know." Stop thinking too much. It's all right not to know the answers. Damn. They will come to you when you least expect it. Sometimes we think we have to have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. But if you need to know the answer, it'll come to you eventually. I like this one. Smile. You don't own all the problems in the world. It's probably one of the reasons you see me smiling a lot. Because I know I don't own all the problems in the world. Number 2, your life has relevance. Your life has relevance. You might not think that, Mark, but your life has relevance. All of our lives do. We can make a difference. If it's only in the life of one other person, we can make a difference. One author has said this, we're not saved from the dangers of the world, but for the mission of sharing the abundant life of Christ with others. And sometimes that'll lead us into places we least expect, that we least expect to go. Sometimes it'll feel like we're going into the lion's den. But that doesn't matter, because Christ stands with us. Jesus stands with us when we go into those places, when we're called to give a word. Our lives have relevance. They are worth something. Your life, my life, has relevance in the world. We're not just sort of trying to make it through. You might think that some days. You ever think that on some days? It's like, oh my Lord, I'm glad I got through that day. No. In every single day, we're given opportunities to make a difference for someone else. Not for us. Because, you know, it's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the other folks. It's about someone else. Each of us already knows we're loved. Amen?
Amen.
Each of us already knows we're beautiful. Amen? There are an awful lot of people out there who have no clue, absolutely no clue, that their life is beautiful and that they are loved. It's our responsibility to let them know. Just like Mrs. Reichel did for me years ago, in simple ways. She has no idea the impact that that little thing, that little statement made on my life. She has no idea. But I'll give praise to God for Mrs. Reichel my whole life long, because she made a difference just by choosing to share words of love. And sometimes we think we don't matter much in the world. And sometimes we look at our lives as if the glass is half empty. You know, the glass is never half empty or half full. However you want to look at it. It's always full. Half water, half air. Our lives are full. Our lives are full. Your life is full. And that's a wonderful thing. So, because we're no longer living in the year 90 AD or 90 CE, Christian era, however you want to look at it, we don't need sheepfolds. We shouldn't be keeping people out. We should be bringing people in. Because I think that's what Jesus would have done. He had problems with some people. But you know, it was always the high and mighty he had problems with. It wasn't the simple people of the world, you and me. He loved everybody. And he loves us. So live a life that's abundant. Seek to live a life that's full, knowing that you are fully known and loved for who you are. And your life can make a difference. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Because there's an awful lot of, maybe even some folks sitting here who haven't really quite gotten that yet. But it's true. It's your truth. And you ask us to live fully into that love. So much so that it just pours out of us and gives our life relevance in the world. So take us, Lord, and let us be your people, flinging wide the gates so that all people might know your love, your grace. May it come through the words of our mouths, through the actions of our lives, so that we might make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The ushers will wait upon us as we receive our morning offering. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you and we praise you this day for the life that you have given us, for the ways that you have blessed us. Because we have been so blessed, we want to return a blessing to others. So receive the tithes and the offerings that we bring this day, and grant that this congregation might show forth your love in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen.